with Nanette Weiser, Joe Bordeaux. It's Lunchtime Conversations on Radio St. Pete. The only better job he could have had with his name was federal judge. I think Charlie Justice would have been a great name for a judge, don't you think? Instead, he has had quite a career as a leader in our community, a distinguished career. I want to touch on that a little bit and then move on to today and his life as the president and CEO of the Tampa Bay Beaches Chamber of Commerce. Charlie Justice, welcome to Radio St. Pete.
Great to be with you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, let's for those who do not know you, let's do a quick bio. I understand it all started at Mound Park Hospital.
I was born and raised right here in St. Petersburg, grew up in West St. Pete, all local schools, Tyrone Elementary, Azalea Middle, the Bogasega High School.
Yes, indeedy.
St. Petersburg College, USF. I am a local boy, true and true.
Wow, wow. Then what happened?
I got bit by the political bug, and I served as a staffer for then-Representative Lars Hafner. I was elected to the Florida House in 2000, served three terms in the Florida House, one term in the Florida Senate, and then I just concluded serving three terms on the Pinellas County Commission, and have just an incredible honor to serve the people. When you represent the people in that capacity, it's a great honor, it's a great thrill, and I loved every minute.
Right. Talk a little bit about the differences between the world in Tallahassee and here, in terms of what you actually do once you're elected.
It's changed a lot. When I was first elected in 2000, the legislature, that was the beginning of term limits, and that was really a big change in Tallahassee. Of folks that had been there for a long time, a lot of that institutional knowledge. You started getting younger folks that didn't have that history, and things. It's a big change in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. When you have 160 folks battling it out for 60 days, local government a lot different. The partisanship doesn't matter as much. You're trying to focus on getting things done for your local community. And I think in the 12 years I was on the commission, I was really proud of the work that we did, Republicans and Democrats coming together. We made a lot of headway in a lot of areas. Really proud of the work we did on economic development, affordable housing. Specifically, the area of Lehman was something I really worked a lot on. Mm-hmm. That was is still an impoverished area, but we turned the corner a lot of ways in Lehman. And you're going to see the impact that we had for years and years to come.
Mm-hmm. A lot of folks are thinking about getting into politics now. We asked this question separately in a separate interview with former Mayor Kreisman. But a lot of people, because of what's going on in the world, probably look in the mirror and say, I wonder if I could do this better. How difficult was it for you when you took the first step to run for office?
Well, coming in from a staff position, I knew at least to some degree what I was in for. And again, the world was completely different. I'm talking really the beginning of the internet. You know, that's how long, 25 years is not that long, mm-hmm. but really that is the big change. And so the level of scrutiny and negative attacks and whisper campaigns, a digital whisper campaign is brutal. Yeah. And so I think public service is a noble calling. I think it's something that we need good people to run for office. If anyone came to me for advice, I would give them the full gamut of good and bad. And as long as they go in with eyes open, then, if people want to serve, we need good people to serve.
Well, you were in a leadership position at the county commission during two of the greatest crises this county has ever known, starting with COVID. What are your memories of that?
Well, talking about the old adage about a lie makes its way around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes, fighting information, disinformation during that period was a challenge. And it was a really communication was, I think, at the heart of a lot of the problems that came out of COVID. I mean, beyond the obvious initial health part of it, but as far as how it's managed, how it's reacted to, communication is so key. And I think we could have all done a lot better job in communicating during that time, mm-hmm. and all of us.
How difficult is it? I can recall during the period of mid-COVID, I would say, we were carrying a number of the commission meetings here, on Radio St. Pete Live, as you were dealing with them. How difficult is it, the public comment period, where you have to listen to one person after another tell you you're incompetent and don't know what you're doing?
It's a great way to spend a Tuesday night. no, it's you know, it's that's not any fun for anyone. Right. But I tell you, I try to remember that people were scared, people were frustrated, people were angry, and they had every right to be all those things. And there was no other place for them to vent that. And so that's how I accepted it. We tried to do the make the right decisions with the information we had. Could if I was go back and do it all over again, would we make some changes? Absolutely. Of course we would. Mm-hmm. I always try to put myself in the other person's shoes. And people were all feeling all those emotions, and they needed somewhere to vent it. Some of it was pure political, but a lot of it was just pure a genuine how they were feeling at the moment.
Yeah, fear and concern. Then we came up to October, and how many times you had prepared the county for big storms. Some came near, some came here but didn't have a great effect. And then finally, not the big one, but a very big one with Helene showed up.
Oh, absolutely. This season was a generational change for Pinellas County. It really was. Right. It was an impact like that. And it was, you know, one of those reasons that we were so proud that over the years that we kept investing in our emergency operations center. That state-of-the-art building on Olmerton Road that's a mm-hmm. – I think it's Cat 5, but really it's like a Cat 8, but they just don't rate it that high. Yeah. That was an expensive building, but we invested in those kind of things. We made sure we had staffing. All those folks went through the drills, and COVID was kind of a different run, but a lot of these emergency operations responses were the same. Mm-hmm. And every storm scare, we got a little bit better. Every brush with the coast, we got a little bit better. One year, we had never prepared for sand, that much sand coming up. Mm-hmm. The next storm, we had vehicles, tractors lined up at every beach access point so that immediately after storm, we could get out and push sand back. So we tried to learn every single time. But yeah, when we had the heavy rains, then we had Debbie, then we had Helene, then we had Milton, that cumulative effect on our community, we're still feeling it today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So with that in mind, you know, you have chosen at a really difficult time to come in and lead after Robin left, and we wish her well in North Carolina. What was the reason that you chose to take the lead with the Tampa Bay Chamber post-storm?
Well, a lot of factors in it. Part of it was just the pure timing of the opportunity was there right after November when my term was over. And I had known so many of the folks on the board and that were active in the chamber, and I worked with them over the years. And I know a lot of the beach mayors and council members from my time in public office. And so a lot of the folks were familiar, and I thought it was kind of an extension of my public service, that my focus has narrowed a little bit. But I'm still out there. We're trying to facilitate positive impact for all our members of the chamber and for the overall community on our beaches. And so I thought I had the right skill set, and thankfully the board agreed, and here I am.
So Tampa Bay Chambers, Beaches Chambers, supports a lot of programs. Let's take each one and tell me what you think needs to happen. Hurricane recovery, we're still in that post-hurricane recovery. What's your vision for where we need to be and how we're going to get there?
Well, we need what? How much time do we have? it's really a case by case basis because each business it was impacted differently, and it's amazing if you go on our beaches. One business, if you look at one hotel, it's up, running, doing great. Hotel right next to it is going to be demolished because they couldn't recover, and so you have to go case by case. Some of it is still permitting issues with their local government. Some of it is. Pure getting workers, availability of workers and contractors out there to do the work. Some of it is a negotiation with their insurance company and financing. So it really is a case-by-case basis. And so we need a little bit of help in all those areas. The beach itself is open and beautiful, and the water is – we're starting to get the warm air, but the water is still pretty cool comparatively, so it's a really nice time to come. We do have a lot of out-of-town tourists, but we really want our locals to know – the beaches are open, and we invite them to come.
So small business was really growing on the beaches before the hurricane. A lot of interesting small businesses coming, and it was wonderful. What now is the Chamber doing to support small businesses? And you've done an incredible job on these ribbon cuttings as they've opened. Talk to the community a little bit about this.
Absolutely. We're trying to do everything we can to help. We've done, since the storm, our Chamber has done 103, I think, reopening ribbon cuttings. And we feel that's part of our job, is to tell our members' story. They're reopened. They're back. They need your business. And I was telling the story earlier that the folks that run these restaurants and hotels and shops on the beaches, they have been through it, but they are some of the most resilient people I've ever met in my life. I was at a ribbon cutting at the Helm restaurant on St. Pete Beach on Blind Pass Road, and Heidi and her husband were there. And I would tell you, the folks had tears in their eyes because they were so excited for their employees to get back to work, but also – you know, they got in the restaurant business because they wanted to share their love of food and entertainment and hospitality, and now they're able to do that. And it's inspiring to meet with some of these folks and see what they're going through. The Chamber is also working with our local governments as far as temporary ordinances or permitting issues. That's part of our role, is we believe to communicate our members' needs with the local government. We have monthly meetings throughout the beach communities where we connect our members with the city managers and the elected officials, so they can share information back and forth. But I'm proud today to tell you we submitted another list of names to the Glazer Family Foundation. The Glazers have been very generous. Last month, we gave out $50,000 in small grants to 20 small businesses. We're going to do another 20 here shortly. Hopefully, the checks will turn around quick. But that was because, you know, we made the connections, and my predecessor, Robin, made those connections. And the Glazer Family Foundation chose the Tampa Bay Beaches Chamber as one of the vehicles in order to get the money into the community. So we're trying to help our businesses everywhere we can. And if people have other ideas, we're wide open.
You know, one of the biggest hits was, of course, on turtles and the beaches and the sea beaches. And I love the program that the Tampa Bay Beaches Chamber has. Tell us a little bit about the May to October safe nesting as sea turtle nesting season is approaching.
Oh, it's just continually to remind folks that, you know, we want to take care of our turtles. We want to make sure that we're following all the rules that the county and state have set aside for that effort, and that, you know, it's a tourist beach, but also Mother Nature owns it too.
You know, and this is something that the Chamber, people think that the Chamber is just about getting people into hotels and businesses and restaurants. You're stewards of nature.
Absolutely.
You're also stewards of supporting tourism throughout the city. And how has the Sunrunner changed the relationship and created a partnership between you and downtown St. Pete and the city of St. Pete?
I think it's that access. You know, when you're on vacation, I can tell you, I want to park my car and I don't want to get back, especially if you made that drive from a distance. And having that Sunrunner is a connection point between our beach visitors and downtown. Because as we've talked about all the time is, you want to come, if you're staying here for a week, do a couple days on the beach, enjoy your hotel, enjoy the resort where you're at. But then you go, all right, what else is there to do around Pinellas County? And so the Dolly Museum and the museums in downtown St. Pete are world-renowned. And to give folks an easy access to that, that connects that. And that just is going to continue to grow over time as the Sunrunner develops, as other transportation develops. And you know, downtown St. Pete is not done growing yet as far as things that they offer our visitors.
You created a program, or you're continuing the program with Passport to Paradise and the Tampa Bay Beaches, tampabaybeaches.com. A new guide is coming out. Tell us a little bit about this, because this is a great guidebook.
Our staff works really hard to put that together. When one is done, we start thinking about the next one. And it's a book packed full of information about our beaches, from Paso Grill and Tierra Verde all the way up to Clearwater Beach, and some of the offerings and some of the unique characteristics of each. St. Pete Beach is very different than Indian Shores, which is very different than Clearwater Beach. And we want our visitors to know there's opportunities all along our beaches for unique restaurants, unique places to stay. So that gives us an opportunity to tell that story, and we're excited to do that as part of how we serve our members.
Our guest today in the studio is Charlie Justice, President and CEO of the Tampa Bay Beaches Chamber of Commerce.
Speaking of collaboration, tell us what you're doing in lobbying in Tallahassee and what are some of the asks that you're doing.
Sure. We were very proud to go with the St. Pete Chamber of Commerce, Chris Steinacker and his team, and Amanda and her team from Amplify Clearwater. All three of us went to Tallahassee, and we met with our legislators, our reps, and our senators to talk about the needs of our community. Really, we were talking a lot. We're always have those top issues. We'll talk about beach nourishment and funding for beach nourishment. We want to talk about tourist development tax and how important that is to our community, Visit Florida and our partnership with them. We also talked a lot with our senators and representatives about the recovery and what has to happen and permitting issues and how can the state support and is there funding. So all those normal things that you think about the legislature as far as policy and funds, you know, the legislature is going to spend over $100 billion. We want some of it. And so, and quite frankly, our folks need it. And so we need to keep telling our story. And it was a great collaboration between the Clearwater folks, St. Pete folks, and our beach community.
You know, small is beautiful, but there's power in numbers. You have an annual luncheon coming up. We look forward to it. Radio St. Pete has aired the talk. Tell us about the panel that's going to be here on May 2nd. This is always at the Tradewinds, which is one of the great partners of TBCC. Tell us what we can look forward to at that event.
We're excited. We're looking forward at this luncheon. So we have Brian Lowak from Visit St. Pete Clearwater and Santiago Corrado from Visit Tampa Bay. And we're still working on a third guest. But we want to talk about the trends in tourism. We want to talk about what's coming. You know, it's strength and sunshine is the theme of it. Again, talking about the resiliency of our members. But really, everyone's tired of talking about the storm. We want to talk about tomorrow. We want to talk about what's coming. How can our restaurants and hotels be prepared for the next trends in tourism? And so we want to give them the best information possible. So it's going to be a great time for our folks to meet with other experts in the area, to hear what Brian and Santiago have to say about what's coming. They see the big picture from 30,000 feet. That's part of our chamber mission, too, is to educate our members and connect our members. And this luncheon does it all.
Well, as former executive editor of Paradise News, spent many times networking and finding great stories. How many members currently do you have? And, you know, membership has its privileges. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. We are one of the three large chambers. We have about 800 members. We're proud of that. Our membership team, and you know Roxanne, works every day to get new members, but also serve our current members. And, yes, we have different levels of membership available. Each one of those comes with a little bit different. But basically, we're here to serve you. And so there's opportunities for networking. There's opportunities for education. There's opportunities for some fun events as well. But chamber folks who work with it, it's like anything. If you put a little bit into it, you get a lot out of it. And folks who are active in our chamber, they get a lot out of it as far as who they meet, the business that they can get, the knowledge that they acquire, and how that prepares their business for success.
You have a wonderful ambassador program. And your people go out and they make new – I've been at some of the things that go on. They make people feel so welcome. Alex Harsha, your social media person, another one. Do you still do the happy hours and things like that?
We have our mixers. And, yes, you're right. Our ambassador program is great. That is chamber members who go out and – usually new members, but also returning members. And they'll bring them a little packet of goods and basically say, thank you for being a member. How can we help you? How can we serve? And it's great. That's part of serving our members, but it's also great for the small group of ambassadors and for that member to meet each other, network a little bit, build those relationships. You start having those relationships. Hey, I need a service. I just met so-and-so who provides that service. That's what this is all about.
You know, one of the two issues, Fred Forestley, who is a dear friend of ours and has been on the show and, of course, is a great supporter of the Tampa Bay Chamber, Beaches Chamber, Sea Dog. He told me there's two big issues for businesses coming, workforce and affordable housing. How are you as a chamber looking to help amplify these issues and find solutions?
You're absolutely right. That is going to be the challenge for Pinellas County and Florida in the near and long-term future. As prices go up, the traditional hospitality workforce is not your highest paid your highest paid section. So we have to find ways that we make sure that there is places for folks to live. And so when we were on the commission, we set aside a portion of the penny for Pinellas to build up the Land Assembly Fund. You've seen – I don't think there a week goes by where you still don't see the county or the city setting aside funds for land to partner with a developer to secure housing at an attainable level. And that's how we can help is we're going to keep that on the front burner of every elected official in Pinellas County because that is critical. It's critical not only for our members' workforce, but really the workforce all over Pinellas. This, we all know this story. We see it. We've just got to get in front of it as best we can.
So what are some of your favorite places to go on the beach?
Oh, of my 800 members, you want me to pick a favorite?
No, no. But, I mean, just from a personal point of view. I mean, I will tell you the Helm, that's such a sad story because when they were ready to open a few years ago, somebody drove through their window. And these people had a restaurant in Greenville, South Carolina, and here. They are incredible restaurateurs. And the fact that they sold their place in Greenville and are now here and felt the need to be part of this community again. So just tell us a little bit about just...
Sure. Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, the Helm is something special. That is a nice place out there on St. Pete Beach. Of course, Caddy's is a popular spot. I'm not going to tell you my favorite spot for a grouper sandwich because it's a small spot, and I don't want it to get too busy. But there's so many places out up on our all the way up and down our beaches that really are special for folks. And everyone's got a special favorite place, you know, whether it's something they place they grew up going or they discovered later. But we've got some incredible places all along our beaches.
Well, this has been Charlie Justice, the new executive director of the Tampa Bay Beaches Chamber. Sign up, become a member. Get on the newsletter, and if you're listening and you are in not just the tourism business, if you want to meet everybody at the beach, you've got to be at that annual tourism luncheon.
Absolutely.
Right, Charlie?
Absolutely. Come join us on America's Best Beaches.
Thank you, Charlie, for being with us.